Good morning. I want to get us thinking this morning. So again, I'm going to start us off with a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about these questions. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, just stop for a minute and listen. How many of you have ever purchased a home in your lifetime? How many of you have a job? How many of you have taken a vacation this year or are planning on taking a vacation? Have you ever bought a car? How many of you are going to college or you're planning to go to college? How many of you are married or you're planning eventually to get married? Do you have children? Are you planning on having children? How many of you plan on having a great retirement one day? And I don't want to leave the youth out, so I've got some questions for the youth as well. Have you ever bought a soccer ball? Maybe a basketball, football, maybe a scooter, a bike? How about a PlayStation game? Xbox game, a toy of any sort, anything like that. I want to thank everybody for participating in this little survey. Now I have one more question for you. Here's what I'm getting at. I want you to think about this too. Because today, this our scripture, our message is all about this one question. Leads up to this. Think about it. Here's the question. When you bought your last car, when you bought your house, when you began that new job, or decided to go on that vacation, when you purchased that basketball, that football, that soccer ball, that scooter, that bike, that PlayStation game, that Xbox game, did you pray about it first? Did you pray about it first? When you believe that you met that right person and you want to get married, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about your retirement? What you're going to do and how you're going to finance it? Have you tried to discern and understand what God's will is in those decisions, in those plannings? That's our topic of discussion today. And I've titled it, Lord Willing. Let's open with a word of prayer. You know, Lord, I thank you so much to be here. I thank you so much for the opportunity to come and pray and to speak with you, to have a relationship with you, to have a conversation with you about anything. To come and to talk to you when things are not going good, but you know what? To come and talk to you when things are going well, when things are going good. I thank you for that. I thank you so much for that line of communication that you never shut down, that you're always wanting to hear from us. So Lord, I pray over this service, I pray over this message, and I pray over the people that are listening or watching. Dear Lord, have your way in their life, and let the Holy Spirit speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and turn with me to James chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It reads like this. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow you're going to go to this or that city and you're going to spend a year there, carry on some business, make some money. Why you do even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If any one of you knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin. Now, James is asking a lot of the same questions that I just asked you. I just put them in a little easier to understand terms. You say, Donnie, that didn't sound like what I just heard. Bear with me. Because the scary thing is, most of us don't consider God in the middle of everyday plans. Unless, of course, there's prayer for healing. Now, I find myself, your pastor, doing the exact same thing. The majority of us don't always seek out God's guidance with our purchases, our planning, our decisions in this life. We don't always do it. We're not doing it on purpose. But we don't realize how much of a part of our life that God wants to be in. And when I'm talking about decisions, our purchases, our planning, our decision making, I'm not talking about what color socks I need to wear this morning. I'm not talking about what lunch I ate. I'm not talking about whether I should purchase the Diet Dr. Pepper or the Diet Coke. But I am talking about significant things in our life. I am talking about our marriage. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about a career change or a career at all. Our new cars, house, vacation, significant purchases that we make, even for a child. That basketball, that football, that soccer ball, that scooter, that bike. So I ask you, how do you make those decisions? How do you make those plans? You know, a few months ago, it's probably been about 2 months ago, Sarah and I was in the market for some patio furniture. Now, I should say this. Sarah was in the market for some patio furniture. We've got a patio out back of our house. We love to spend time on the back patio. We do majority of our time in the evenings when the weather's nice, that's where you'll find us, this back patio. She was interested in wanting to find some patio furniture. Table, chairs, got the umbrella in the middle. I didn't realize it. I don't know if y'all know this or not. Patio furniture is expensive. It ain't cheap. So we were looking at it, and she had gone different websites, a lot of different websites, and she found one that she really liked, and we were taking a look at it, and I was, she was praying about it a lot. I prayed about it. I did not pray about it as much as she did. She was wanting more than I did, but she did pray about it. And she found one that she liked. She put it in the end basket. And she did not purchase it. She just said she was going to wait. She said, I didn't have a comfortable feeling about it. She said, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to wait on this. I said, okay, well then we'll wait. The very next evening, I come home. Now I've got an app on my phone. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's called Let Go. Let Go app. You can actually... Different people are selling things, and you can go on and purchase it. Well, I came home that evening, and I just pulled it up. Now, I hadn't looked at it for a couple weeks. I pulled it up, and you know what the very first thing I saw? Patio furniture. And it was nice patio furniture. And it was like half the price. So I showed Sarah. Sarah's like, that's it. Try to get a hold of them. Get a hold of them. So I sent this person a message. I said, one, do you still have the patio furniture, and can we come get it? And the person that replied, she said, I am selling this for my mother. My mother's downsizing. It is still available, and she lives in the other side of Edinburgh, close to Bryce Ski Resort. I said, well, if it's still available, we'll come over this evening and get it. She said, okay, I'll let my mom know that you're coming. So Sarah and I, we packed up into the truck. We went over, and we pulled into this to the house, the address that was listed, and the little lady was out on the back porch. We pulled up, and she immediately met us with a smile and started talking. She asked us to come up onto her porch, sit down at the patio furniture, and just have a conversation. So we did. We're there to buy some patio furniture. We end up being there for probably about an hour. Now that's strange in itself, being that you don't know this person at all. She started telling us about herself, talking about why she was downsizing. She had said that she had lost her husband. And you could tell that she was hurting. A few different times, she actually teared up. She had talked to Sarah. She asked Sarah what she did, and Sarah told her. She looked at me, and she asked me what I did, and I told her I was a pastor. And immediately, she started crying. She started crying. We talked for quite some time. We heard her entire story, how she lost her husband. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray with you? Do you mind if I pray with you and pray over you? And again, she started to cry. Now, I've not met this lady. I don't know this lady from Adam. Sarah doesn't know her. We just had a really good time of sitting down and talking with this lady, and then I asked her if I could pray with her. And we sat there on the back porch of a lady that I had no idea who she was, and we prayed. And we prayed and we prayed. And I said amen, and when I looked up, tears just coming down her face, with the biggest smile on her face that you can imagine, and she just said, thank you, you don't know how bad I needed that today. We loaded up, and we drove off, and I remember telling Sarah, I'm like, my mind is blown right now, right? We just simply wanted some patio furniture, but we prayed about it. And God said, you know what, I can hook you up with some patio furniture, but I need you to pray about it because I want you to do something for me. I need you to be at a specific place at a specific time so you can pray with this lady. And we did. I said all that to say this. Our Lord wants to be a part of every single aspect of our life. Now, could we have gone to Lowe's and picked that up? Yes. We'd have paid extra money for it. But the Lord said, I need you to pray about it because I've got a plan. Not only are we going to show you where you can get some patio furniture, but I've got a plan for you because I need you to help. I need you to pray. I need you to be there with this lady right now. Our Lord wants to be a part of every aspect of our life. He also wants to be included in every aspect of our life. He wants to be included in every decision-making process that affects our life. And the one thing that I've come to learn is God will not steer you wrong. Every single time that I seek God's guidance, that I seek God's direction for my life, whatever it might be, I'm never disappointed. No matter what is going on, no matter how it turns out, if I seek God's guidance and direction for my life, I'm not disappointed. It always turns out better than I could have planned it. You know, even in that moment, when I wanted to make that personal decision that really probably isn't the decision that God wanted me to make, but if I don't do that and I wait, in the long run, God's way is always better than anything that I can come up with. Shocker, right? We know this, and yet we still make decisions without God involved. In this life, in our life, we have to make plans. We have to make decisions. It is inevitable. You can't go through life without making a decision, without making plans. It is inevitable. Retirement. Saving money. purchasing a home, purchasing a car, choosing college, even choosing a video game, a bike, or even patio furniture. Planning and decision-making is a vital part of our life. But the question that James is asking us in this scripture, is God involved in those plans? Is God involved in those decisions? Making plans is biblical. You know, Paul's constantly making plans for his future. In 1 Corinthians 16:7, you don't need to turn there. Paul states, he says he hopes to spend some time with the people in Corinth if the Lord permits. In Acts 18:21, he adds, he says, he will return to Ephesus if God wills it. All through Paul's letters, you read of him doing this. He's doing it because he wants to make sure that his plans are contingent on the Lord's plans. He doesn't want to do anything outside of God's will for his life. And then, in a lot of his letters that he's writing, he's also reminding people, reminding them of the importance of God's will in their life. He says in Colossians 1:9, people need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Ephesians 5:7, he says, not to be foolish, but to understand God's will. When we make decisions, we need, as believers, to seek God's will and to learn and to understand what plan He has for us. Let's take a look right now at what James is telling us in these very first five verses. See, the people James was writing to, they were making plans about how they were going to accumulate money, how they were going to make some money. They had plans, they were going to go to this town and make some money, they were going to go to this town and make some money, make a few million here, right? Go to this town, make a few million here, and then move on to the next town. Their plans were set. That's what I'm getting at. Now, I want to make something very, very clear here. James is not saying anything about or anything bad about making money. He's not against making money. He's against making definite plans and not allowing God to have any say-so in any of them. That's what the issue is. When they were going from town to town to town, they were bragging about what they were going to do, but they never sought God's guidance or direction in them. All right? The people were making plans as if God did not exist. James is also saying we need to be alert to the possibility that God's going to change those plans, moving them in a new direction. One that maybe you or they had not anticipated. One that will ultimately prove to be more fruitful. And get this. Prayerfully seeking God's guidance and direction in your life starts before the decision is made. Very important. You say, Donnie, what are you talking about? A lot of the times, hear me out, a lot of times we have a tendency to go ahead and make the plan or make that decision or make that purchase and then ask God to be a part of it, to bless it. Let me tell you something. That will bite you in the butt every time. That is not including God in the decision. That is including God in the decision that you have already made. And you know how I know it'll bite you in the butt? Because I've done it. I bought a truck one time. Thought it was the greatest deal ever was. And it caused me issues, headache, from until I got rid of it. That was not part of God's plan. If we're totally honest with ourselves, we don't want to be open to God's guidance. Oh, sure, we say we do, right? We say we want to have God's guidance. We say we want God's direction. But being open to God's guidance, being opening to God's direction in our life is contingent on us giving up control. That's what that means. That means like we don't have control and God does. And you're saying it and you're meaning it. And we desperately cling to control. It's an issue. So we make our plans for things that we believe are good. We do what we think is right. But we don't understand that God, listen to me, God might have something even better in store for you. In the end, when that happens, when we make decisions and we think they turn out right, in the end, we accept what was second best. You ever thought about that? When you make the decision without God, you end up accepting or realizing or accepting that that was second best and reject what would have been even better. God's plan. You know, the people James is writing to, they were making plans without considering what God wanted them to do. And then it didn't stop there. I told you earlier, then they would boast about it. Boast about what they were doing. James reminded them that they don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. In fact, tomorrow may not even come for many of them. This thought, you know, it's pretty similar to the parable that Jesus spoke about of the man who had that abundant harvest. And he tears down his barns, builds up new barns so he could retire, right? So he could relax, so he could eat, drink, and be merry. You remember that story in Luke? The point of the parable is that the man made plans without regard for God, and he was only counting on what he was going to accomplish and what he could do. He didn't include God in his planning. So James reminds the people that life is just like a mist, a vapor. We're here one minute, gone the next. James is reminding us that we can make all the plans in the world that we want. Some great, maybe some lousy. But we have no guarantee of the future. But when we know God and when we know God is in control, then we don't need to fear the abrupt changes in our plans. Give up control to God. Give up your plans, your decisions, your purchases to God. Listen to this wonderful words that God told the prophet Jeremiah. It comes from Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future." Friends, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for my life. God's got a plan for this church. And they're very, 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 very real. You know, my great aunt, who I've always referred to as my grandmother, she's been gone for about 10 years now, I used to love to sit and listen to her talk and listen to her tell stories. She was the greatest storyteller I'll ever know. She was the godliest woman I'll ever know. Whenever you would ask her what she was going to get into, say, tomorrow or next week, she would always finish that question with, "Lord willing." You know, my brothers and sisters, we called her Boo Boo. That was the name we gave her when we were really young. I don't even remember how or who. We would say, "Boo Boo, you plan to go to the family reunion this year?" And she'd say, "Lord willing." She would tell us how she would plan to go, say, on a bus trip. And then she'd say, "Lord willing." Here's the point I'm making. You can't live, learn, or look unless the will of God deems it. Sure, You know, we joke about God's plans for our lives. We make statements about tomorrow saying, you know, if the Lord wills it and the creeks don't rise, you've heard it, maybe even said it. But in reality, we're not so different from the people that James is writing about or writing to. Especially when he tells them, instead of asking for God's will, they boast and they brag about their plans. We don't ever do that, do we? Nah. Listen, I'm not trying to discourage you this morning or have you leave here today feeling guilty or unhappy. That's not what I'm trying to do. The hope that I have is that I refresh your memory on God's will for our lives, God's will for your life. And through our planning and through our decision making and through our purchases, we can actually grow closer to God. You say, Donnie, you can grow closer to God through your purchases? Let me tell you something. A few weeks ago, I grew closer to God when we went and picked up some patio furniture. And you ride all the way home choked up because you got to see just a portion of the threads in God's plan. The overlaying, the threads of God's plan. Did I grow closer? Absolutely. And when you get to do that, when you get to see that, when you get to feel that, God is at work even in the purchase of a patio table and some chairs. So you say, Donnie, well, how do we begin changes in our life so that God can become a priority in our lives, so we can see that kind of thing, so we can remind ourselves to pray about those purchases, to pray about those decisions, to pray about those plans, to pray about our future? How can we make statements like, Lord willing, and actually mean it? Very simply, I believe it all comes through daily discipline. In many respects, doing just the basics will get you there. As you read your Bible, you'll discover and uncover more of God's truth for your life. As you learn, you'll begin to apply what you're learning and then seek to please God every single day of your life. And not just every day of your life, but every step in that day. Does your day revolve around God? And as you pray, use the acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y. You ever heard this? It stands for praise, repent, ask, and yield. Note that last one, yield. Yield. When you yield to God, you're seeking His will, not yours. You're seeking His will, not yours. As we come to a close, there's a few things to take away from this wonderful passage that James gives us. The first one, life is short. Don't be deceived into thinking that you've got plenty of time to live for Christ. Live for Him now. To make plans for your life. It's okay to make plans for your life. Make decisions for your life. Make purchases in your life. But seek God's guidance and direction in those purchases, in those plans, in those decisions. And three, don't boast. Don't boast about your accomplishments because you didn't do it alone. Who do you think helped you? Seeking God's will for your life, it's not hard. Actually, it's just the opposite. It's fairly easy. But man, we have a way of really making things confusing or making things hard, don't we? The more we work at seeking God's will for our life, in every aspect of our life, the simpler it becomes. Once we discipline ourselves to finding God's will for our plans, our decisions, and our purchases, it starts to become second nature. Give it a try. You will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Again, Lord, thank you for the line of communication of prayer. Again, thank you that I can come at any point, any time, in a day, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on, no matter what decision I'm making, what planning's going on, or what purchase I want to make, I can seek your will and confidently know that you're going to let me know what I need to do. Thank you for that. Thank you for that assurance. Thank you for that. Well, just thank you, my goodness. Lord, I ask everybody, or I ask for, again, that you would touch every single person that's watching and listening, and have them tune back in next week. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, my prayer for everyone here today is that we leave this place, whether you turn us off and get off Facebook and you go do something else, that when you leave, you're excited about the future that God has planned for you. Listen to Jeremiah, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Thanks for tuning in. And Lord willing, I'll be back next week. Thanks and God bless.